Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, now on alternate Fridays at 12:10, with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson County Foundation, to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll through the last half of 2020 and into 2021. Siobhan Canty, welcome as usual to Community Tides.
Thank you, Chris. It's a joy to be here with you as always.
Before we got on the line, I was thinking the words community and foundation. And when you stop to think about the juxtaposition and the real meaning of those two words, there's a certain richness that spills out, at least for me anyway. It makes me think beyond just another organization out there in the county. It's more than that, isn't it, Siobhan?
It is. I'm so glad you started there, because a community foundation is really different than any other kind of foundation you might think of. For example, the Ford Foundation or a family foundation, where a lot of money is put into a pool from a single source, like the Ford Company or a single family. But a community foundation is really a place where all community members can come together and connect their charitable giving to have greater impact together. So it's really a community network that's building the foundation of our future.
I don't know. And when I first moved into this community, I was always thinking that there's a certain comfort level among a good number of folks that are sort of strolling through the co-op and doing their shopping on any given day, versus a complement of folks walking through QFC up here in town or out in Hadlock on any given shopping day. And there are talented and creative folks of all kinds and all kinds of income levels doing good work in this community. And there are our brothers and sisters who commute here to work, and those who make up our shadow community, and those who struggle to have or just don't have a home.
It's interesting, Chris, because more and more we are seeing our workforce commuting, and that can be problematic for a place like Port Townsend that's really not on the way to anywhere. You know, people really, really have to want to get here in order to come. And so it's important that we remain kind of competitive for our workforce and that we really value them, cherish them, and support them and offer them things like a living wage and affordable housing. And we have some really big issues to work on going forward. We did before the pandemic, and it's even more important now. So having a strong community foundation is that makes that possible for folks to come together and work on really big issues that any one person or one organization couldn't take on by themselves.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be some linkage, which leads me to the word foundation. You know, what's on the horizon for our county, and what kinds of linkages are necessary?
Well, of course, first and foremost, we have the challenge of our local economy and restarting our local economy in a way that is less dependent on tourism. You know, we value tourists, we welcome them, but they cannot be at the center of our economy. Tourists need to be in service of our businesses and not the other way around. And so we have this incredible community of entrepreneurs here, boat makers, sail makers, woodworkers, brewers, food products, artisans, just a rich, rich community here. And we need to find ways to support them. And so that includes the Chamber of Commerce and the Economic Development Council, our local governments, our local nonprofits working on things like affordable housing and childcare for those workers. And it's a great example of the kind of network approach that's going to be needed if we're going to really build the healthiest possible future. Another one I just mentioned was affordable housing. You know, houses are now flying off the shelves. We're hearing stories of houses going on the market and getting 14 or 20 offers in the same day they're put on the market. And I just heard of one in Cape George that was sold day of over $100,000 above the asking price, cash, no inspection. I mean, it's a new day for us as we welcome new residents from Seattle and other areas where telecommuting is now becoming the norm. And we need to decide what kind of future we want to build together. And the Community Foundation is proud to serve as a platform for those conversations and that kind of connectivity.
I mean, that scenario has existed in Seattle for quite some time. And to see it spilling over here, well, there's two things that come to my mind. And one of them is that we have the opportunity right now to be able to do something creatively within our community to be able to provide affordable housing and not let it run away from us. I mean, cat's already out of the bag, but not letting it run away from us is really important. And that means some kind of a coalition or some kind of a, I want to say, you know, when you say Community Foundation, I think a lot of people say, oh, that's just another organization out there in the community doing good work. But the Community Foundation is more than that. And it's one that actually puts together people that can actually make a difference, especially with regard to affordable housing and so many other things down the line.
Exactly. We can make sure that each person's charitable giving builds on the other person's charitable giving. So we'll know exactly where the gaps are in affordable housing, in education for young people, in childcare. All of these we maintain a current knowledge of, and we share that with people who want to have the greatest impact with their charitable giving. So we don't have the need, like many community foundations across the country, to kind of convince people to give. This is the most generous community I've ever been a part of. The thing is that we have to start working more together. The best example of this was the COVID Response and Recovery Fund. You know, in mid-March, we had no idea how our community was going to start grappling with the layoffs that everyone had been facing and the other effects of the pandemic that were rolling through in our community. And yet, folks came to the Community Foundation giving what they could. We ultimately raised almost $590,000. We were able to do our work by gathering the service providers, finding out where the gaps were, where they needed to scale, getting that money out each week, and building that recovery and response system as we went. That kind of agility and responsiveness, that is what a community foundation makes possible. And that is what the trust of this community in the Community Foundation makes possible. That would have not happened if everyone had just made their own decision, disconnected from everyone else. By working together, we were able to not only respond in the moment, but build strong systems for the months and years of recovery that we're facing now.
Yeah, we've really spread a lot of groundwork here, I think, over the last couple of years. Give me some examples. I know we've talked about some of these examples before on the air, but I'm always one to remind our current listeners and to inform our new listeners about what the foundation has done, for example, over the last couple of years.
It's been pretty extraordinary. So one of the things that we do, in addition to kind of understanding the landscape of social trends and opportunities and obstacles and the nonprofits that are working on them, who's doing what well and where the gaps are, we use all of that information and we share it with local donors so that they can have, again, the greatest impact possible. When I came to Jefferson Community Foundation in 2017, our total grant making for that year was $135,000. So far in 2020, we've been able to facilitate the allocation of $940,000 into local organizations here. That is an extraordinary leap forward. And I think it's a great success story for this community in terms of understanding better how to work together on some of these issues. So I mentioned the COVID fund. We talked a little bit about housing. That's another example. The Community Foundation incubated the Housing Solutions Network starting in 2018. That is basically a place that educates the local citizenry about the affordable housing challenge we're facing, invites them to engage in the generation of new ideas and new solutions, and provides them with administrative support and strategic support as folks start to work on their own new solutions. As a result, we have 5 new housing action teams out working in the community, doing everything from looking at the city and county permitting processes and offering potential feedback on those to suggested ways of lending money to people who might want to build an ADU or transfer a basement apartment into a new rental unit. We have expanded domestic violence services down in South County. We have been able to start youth mental health supports in Chimicum schools. We are looking at ways to start potentially an education giving circle. We have 4 giving circles. This is where people come together and pool their money, $1,000 at a time, into a pool of between $10,000 and $20,000. And then they decide together where they want to give that money, where they can have the greatest impact. And the Community Foundation helps them navigate those decisions and informs them with current community information. These are the kinds of activities that we've been able to achieve just in the last year. So we're looking forward to increasing folks' understanding of how the Community Foundation can be a resource, not just in the time of COVID, but always, as we learn how to work better together on these big issues.
And when we talk about facilitating the allocation of all of these resources, it's more than just one hand on deck. It's not Siobhan Canty as the Lone Ranger here. You have quite an impressive staff with you.
I have an incredible staff. Oh my goodness. So I told you those numbers, the 135,000 in 2017 to 940,000 in 2020 to date. And the engine behind that has remained the same. We have a total of 2.5 staff people. Myself, Alicia Kleiner, who's the manager of funds and operations, who's been managing the administration of the extraordinary increase of checks going out the door and reports coming back in. And then we have Jen Kingfisher, who is our manager of nonprofit relationships. And Jen does an extraordinary job at making sure that our local nonprofit community is well supported. She does trainings for them on things like digital fundraising or volunteer management. She has started a lending library for equipment that folks might need, like projectors, easels, a lot of event equipment for nonprofits so they don't have to buy it each time. She offers a foundation database, current information on every foundation in the country, and a skilled volunteer to help navigate it for local nonprofits. So just a suite of services that allows for individual nonprofits to build the strongest organizations possible. She also does gatherings of executive directors or development directors or volunteer managers so that we can build stronger relationships among the nonprofits and have a more efficient and more coordinated community support system.
That's pretty important, just coordinating all of that. It takes an eye for that, doesn't it?
It takes a lot of care. It takes a lot of time, actually, to be out in the community every day, getting to know our nonprofit partners, getting to know the struggles they face, understanding where the gaps are in terms of our responsiveness. For example, a perfect example right now is as our local school systems move into digital education and online learning, that's an extraordinary challenge. And we really don't have very many organizations that are working on it right now. So how can the Community Foundation help to build that landscape? A great example of looking at ways of doing that is maybe potentially starting an education giving circle where our community can create a pool of funds that can help local teachers and local school systems move online and support local families as they learn how to support that new kind of learning in their homes. So a lot of work to do, a lot of flexibility, a lot of kind of design as we go, bringing people together as we go so that we can be responsive. And I think that's the kind of agility a community foundation can make possible, while other organizations like Bayside Housing or the Connected Students Initiative or other issue-based organizations can stay the course on their issue and their strategy over the long term. A community foundation can add that component of responsiveness and agility to the current developments happening in our community.
You know, Siobhan, all foundations have boards. I've sat on a couple of boards. Financially, I didn't have a pot to piss in. Can I say that online? I don't know. But I did have other things to contribute in kind, and that was part my contribution to the board. But how is your board set up? I was looking over the credentials of the members of your board, and they're quite impressive and experiential in nature. But how's it set up? What happens? What happens with the board in relationship to you as the executive officer there at the foundation?
What a great question. I love our board. I just want to thank our board. And every one of them is extraordinarily engaged. And so the way we work with our board is every year the board has a retreat in the fall, and we identify what we call the strategic imperatives facing Jefferson Community Foundation. So what are the obstacles and opportunities that our organization is facing that we can address to better meet our mission of supporting the people of Jefferson County? So we choose the most pressing one of those, and then I meet with each board member individually and create an annual engagement plan. And as you mentioned, there's so much more than money that folks can bring. And so this engagement plan has up to four potential components. The first one is required for everyone. We do ask that every board member makes a donation that is meaningful to them, that can be of any size they like. And then we tailor the rest of the engagement plan depending on how they want to serve in the upcoming year. It can include one of three things. The first is they can either raise or give more money. The second is they can either donate or secure the donation of pro bono consultants in a specific issue area. So, for example, marketing and communications is a big priority for Jefferson Community Foundation right now because so few people understand what a community foundation is. We want to get out there and let people know. So one of our board members is generously donating their time to help us develop a communications and marketing plan. The fourth and final component of our engagement plan that someone could choose to offer us is access to new relationships or new networks. So, for example, Jefferson Community Foundation would like to increase the strength of our relationships with folks living on the far west side of Jefferson County. So we're hopeful that we can find a board member from West Jefferson County to help us connect to the community over there. By being flexible and thinking about assets as more than money, but relationships, skills, time, we're able to design an engagement plan for each board member that really reflects what they want to do. And they get enthusiastic and have extraordinary levels of engagement by doing it this way. So every one of our board members is highly engaged and plays a key role in moving the organization forward.
Those wonderful channels, just going out there and finding pro bono resources and philanthropic resources and all kinds of things. It's just amazing. And I love the Jefferson Community Foundation. What else can I say? Well, our time is up. So I just want to thank you, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson County Foundation, and my co-host. I'm so happy. And we talk about new developments every other week, new paradigms and the new normal facing Jefferson County as we roll through the last half of this year and into 2021. Boy, oh boy, if there was ever a time in history, it's now. So thanks for being with me.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Well, take care, Siobhan. Until next time.
Okay. You take care, too. And thanks, as always, to KPGD for being a great community partner. Bye-bye.